Hello, welcome back to Journal Updated, a podcast about video games, and we're all mad down here. I'm Nora, and here's Molly.
Hi.
I think that was an it, and that was not Alice. Is that right? Or
what?
Because we all float is for it.
Yeah. Yeah. The Mad Hatter says we're all mad down here.
Okay, cool.
To that effect. Yeah, you're in the right ballpark.
I did it.
I don't know the exact quote. I haven't read Alice in Wonderland, nor have I watched the film.
Sorry, my therapist has been deleting my memories recently, so I couldn't remember where the quote came from.
It's so funny how immediately, obviously evil this man is.
They designed
just
him
second
to be evil.
Number one, yeah. They don't even try, you know?
So, before we get into Alice Madness Returns, what else did you play video games this week?
This month. What have I been playing? Monster Hunter Wilds came out yesterday. So I have been playing some of that. And that seems good, but also I'm not very far in it because it came out yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And on top of that, I had to build a new PC before I could start playing it. And I say I had to build a new PC as if my wife didn't do all the work because she's wonderful and lovely and did that for me.
That counts.
Yeah, that counts.
Like when your partner builds your IKEA furniture, that counts. That's a joint venture.
Well, I don't know about all that because I'm the one who builds the IKEA furniture, and I would not say anybody else builds the IKEA furniture. Uh-huh.
I see how it is.
Yeah, look, I didn't build the computer. Pris built the computer, but she wanted to build the computer.
Mm-hmm.
Played a little bit of Monster Hunter. I don't think I've mostly been playing Marvel Rivals. I've been playing some Marvel Rivals because I foolishly want the fucking ranked skins for hitting gold. Unfortunately, you can post the best stats of your life and lose a lot in Marvel Rivals.
That's true.
So I've just been on this like fucking treadmill of like, I just got ranked back down to bronze. That's how
that
it's
sucks.
Been going for me. I think it's, first of all, it's fucking bullshit you can rank back down to bronze after you make it out of bronze. But secondly, I just don't even know what I don't think I'm doing anything wrong. I think I've just gotten like really bad teams for like 9 games in a row.
Yeah, that'll happen.
So yeah, I'm doing my best, but it fucking sucks. This is why I don't play ranked modes in competitive shooters. Like, it's just not that fun to me.
But we can't even duo queue because you're on PC.
Right, that's the thing.
Otherwise, we'd have it.
Yeah,
in the bag.
Otherwise we'd be oomph mode, and it would be fine. But yeah. No, it just fucking sucks, and you can't play with your friends if you're on different platforms, which I get because like PC versus console is like a very different beast when you have a mouse and keyboard versus a controller. I get it, but at the same time, I'm like, come the fuck on, man! Please help me. Otherwise, I've been playing a lot of Cobblemon, the Minecraft Pokemon mod.
Mm-hmm.
Where I have just kind of just been building shit, you know, like regular Minecraft time. That's been taking up a lot of the other time that I'm not spending playing Marvel. And I don't have like a lot to report about Minecraft, except that like if you add Pokemon to Minecraft, it's kind of like the perfect game. Because like when I play Pokemon,
uh-huh.
I play the game, I do the game,
yeah.
I finish it, and then I never think about it again.
True.
It's just, and a lot of my friends are not this. They care a lot about like Pokemon battles and strategy and shit, and I'm like, I don't know. I just kind of like that I can have little guys walking around my Minecraft area. And like I turn around and there's like a fucking Charmander there, and I'm like, oh, it's my friend. And then I go back to like whatever Minecraft shit I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
That's the appeal of Pokemon in Minecraft to me. So I've been doing that, even though it has like a full battle system included with it and all that. It's pretty wild. But I'm mostly just there to look at the guys and build it like a little town and things like that. But otherwise, yeah, I've been just waiting for Monster Hunter to come out and playing Alice. So, Nora, I know you've been gaming because we changed what we're playing next month.
We did. So I'm like probably 12 or so hours into Avowed, between two characters.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really liking it, as you might expect, considering how much I liked The Outer Worlds.
Yeah.
Because it is kind of the Elder Scrolls to The Outer Worlds Fallout, if that makes sense.
Okay. Okay, yeah. Okay, that makes sense.
It seems to be a very similar structure, where you're going through areas that are smaller and, like, discrete from each other.
Obsidian, just like, they won't let us fucking make Fallout or Elder Scrolls games, so I guess we'll just do our own.
Yeah. Difference being that, like, you know, everything in the world that you can pick up, you can just pick up. You're not stealing shit the way that you are in The Outer Worlds or Skyrim.
Oh, that's nice.
And, you know, you can't just go around murdering NPCs or livestock, which some people online have thrown a pissy fit about. It is so funny.
Why do you want to murder NPCs, man? What's your beef?
But it's been a lot of fun. The setting is kind of whatever, because I didn't play Pillars or Pillars of Eternity 2 Deadfire.
Is that what Pillars 2 is called? Deadfire?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I think it refers to an archipelago.
I see.
But I don't know this setting. Like, if I played Baldur's Gate 1, I'd be like, oh yeah, Forgotten Realms, I guess. Whatever, who cares? I cannot bring myself to care about the Forgotten Realms, but I know a lot about it. Or at least, I know some stuff about it. It's not as in my head as, like, Kryn is from Dragonlance, but, you know.
Well, it's because you've read a lot of Dragonlance books.
That's true. I did not go Drizzt mode as a teen. I went Dragonlance mode.
You went Dragonlance mode.
I was at Target today, and I saw a new collection of the Dragonlance Chronicles trilogy, which is the first Dragonlance books. It's a shame that they get all the attention, because they are not the best Dragonlance books you could be reading. I know it's the classic one, it has all the heroes in it, but I've always really liked the sequels and stuff around those books way more than the actual, like, D&D plot of the War of the Lance.
Uh-huh.
I think it's way cooler when you have to cut, like, 6 or 7 years later, and then, or maybe even a decade, I don't remember. And then have, like, oh, this guy was a hero, and now he's kind of a piece of shit. He kind of has his life in the toilet right now. Let's see if he can pull it out. And he does, eventually. Spoilers. I was just thinking about Dragonlance a lot today.
You've been thinking about it a lot for, like, the last 2 weeks, because we talked about this last week, too, I think.
Did we? I don't remember.
Yeah, because you were talking about your tabletop group always nuking Dragonlance.
That's true. We play a lot of Planescape / Spelljammer stuff, and my GM, his, like, default move is to explode the setting of Dragonlance.
Which is rude to Nora.
It's a little rude to Nora, but also it means that I can do whatever I want with it, so I can, like, take elements of Dragonlance and put, basically the knightly orders of Dragonlance. There's, like, the good knights and the evil knights, and then as time goes on, the line kind of gets blurrier. But there's, like, 2 or 3 knightly orders in Dragonlance that now, since they're, like, Spelljammer guys, they're basically Dragon Rider knights that go through, you know, the Spelljammer setting as essentially biker gangs.
Pretty cool.
Which is pretty cool. Also, the villain of our first third edition campaign ate most of the Dragonlance gods. So, you know, all the elements kind of got scattered, and we can, like, play with them easier that way, since we don't actually hang out on Kryn that much.
You're not going to Kryn? Yeah.
Not really. I'm the only one who cares.
That's fair. I guess if it lets you do whatever you want, that's good.
Yeah. Anyway, what was I saying?
You're talking about Avowed. But we're going to talk about that next month, so maybe we should, you know... Did you play anything else?
Did I play anything else? I downloaded a lot of games. I played a little bit of that Ninja Gaiden 2 Black remaster.
Oh, yeah, I downloaded that, but I didn't touch it at all.
I downloaded the free demo of the Life is Strange sequel, by which I don't mean Life is Strange 2. I mean the sequel to the first game, the new one.
Sure.
We'll see if I boot that up. I've mostly, honestly, I've been in tabletop moded a lot.
Classic Nora.
We're playing a game of The Veil, except we've set it in a fantasy setting.
Yeah.
And sometimes you're playing a tabletop game and you can tell that your GM is a Le Guin head. I think our whole group is Le Guin heads, so that's fun. Fair.
Yeah, that's good.
I'm playing a dragon stuck in human form, and it's been a lot of fun.
So true.
I also have just been... I've actually been trying to do more writing and less video gaming, but otherwise I've just been playing Marvel Rivals.
Yeah.
Marvel Rivals.
That is when we hang out what we've been doing.
That's true. And sometimes we don't even play the game, we just hang out in the training mode and kill each other a million times. That's true,
yeah. okay, well then, do you want to talk about Alice Madness Returns?
About Avowed? Yeah, so basically...
We're not talking about Avowed. We're not, babe, we're not talking about Avowed today. We're talking about Alice Madness Returns today. Against our better judgment.
It's fine. It's fine. It's not a bad video game. Alice Madness Returns was released in 2011, which feels way late, but that's true.
This game came out the same year as Dark Souls came out, okay?
It just feels like it's older than that.
It feels like this came out in 2004, for sure.
Alice Madness Returns is the sequel to the 2000, I would say, cult classic PC game American McGee's Alice, which itself is a sequel to Alice's... Is it Alice's Adventures in Wonderland is the book? Is that right?
Yes. The game's premise is based on Lewis Carroll novels Alice's Adventures in Wonderland and Through the Looking Glass.
Right. My understanding is that the events of those books happen and then the games happen after. And that's why she knows what Wonderland is and it's all fucked up now.
Yeah.
It used to be Nicies, but now it's evil.
Now it's evil.
And there's a cathedral train.
Right.
Yeah, so Alice... lost her family in a big fire. She's traumatized about it.
Yes.
And she's trying to piece together her own mind as her sort of therapist is trying to erase her memory of what happened for some reason. It seems
the
like
the cure
every...
to all your ails is just forgetting about it. Don't worry, man.
Just don't worry about it, bro.
Quit thinking about the fire that, you know, killed everybody you know and love. It's easy, actually.
They try to convince her that she is responsible because she, like, left a light in the library that caused the big fire. And as she investigates Wonderland and tries to, like, fix all the shit that's gone wrong, she starts to remember the truth, which is that the same doctor who's trying to make her forget had visited their home that night and had assaulted her sister, and that she had seen him leave, and that's why he started the fire to kill everyone in the house to cover his tracks.
Yeah, because she was already dead when the fire started, is what we learn.
And so she escapes through the window and is kind of scarred by the whole incident. And once she, like, figures it all out, she confronts the doctor. He has a name. What the hell is his name?
I don't know. He doesn't. He has a name, but no, he doesn't. Let's see.
Dr. Bumby.
Bumby. Get his ass.
So she confronts Dr. Bumby as he's about to leave on a train, and ends up pushing him in front of the train and killing him. And then the game's over.
I don't understand. I guess I don't understand. All of the shit with him just comes out of... It's like a 11th hour reveal that he's like... The actual, like, asylum he's running is, like, making people forget all of their memories and then, like, selling them off to people who want to abuse children. It's crazy how evil he is all of a sudden.
Yeah. It's wild. Also, in Wonderland, he's known as the doll maker because of this.
Right, yes.
And there's a version of him that's all big and, like, spewing ichor from his mouth.
Right, and he, you know, he's doing the little marionette thing. This game's weird, man. I don't know.
This game is stupid.
It's really stupid is the thing. It's too long. It's way too long.
You know,
way too long.
This is, like, we've just told you what the plot is, but you have to remember that you're doing jumping puzzles, you're sometimes doing rhythm games or slide puzzles, you know, there's a shoot-em-up segment, you're collecting collectibles in levels by doing little side paths, and
by collectibles, you mean silly little memories that amount to, like, three lines of dialogue. Or bottles, which I still don't know what those are for. They're just bottles.
Yeah.
That presumably they look like messages in bottles, but you don't ever, like, learn what they say in them, as far as I know. You pick up teeth as your main currency to upgrade your stuff. It's just kind of, like, gross. And, like, I, you know that going in, but, like, it's gross in a way that I'm like, this isn't, like, anything, you guys. This is just gross to be gross. And I guess you can do that, but it's not fun.
Mm-hmm. You get an assortment of gadgets. You get the Vorpal blade, which is like a knife.
Yes.
You get the pepper grinder.
Fucking kitchen knife. Yeah.
The pepper grinder acts as sort of a gun.
It's like a mini gun. Yeah.
You crank it and it goes. You get the hobby horse, which is, you know, like a stick horse that you bonk people with. And
yeah.
You get the tea kettle grenade launcher that shoots tea bags that explode into
that. I'm like,
tea.
Sure, man, they're doing that to me. I may as well do that to them.
You know, it's a very Zelda combat system to me.
Yes.
Except
yes.
That it's got a lot more bullshit than Zelda tends to throw at you.
You say, like, the hobby horse is something you hit people with, but in my experience, it is an item you pick up and use to do, open, like, the two chests at the end of that level and never touch again.
Really?
Did
I was using it in combat all the time because you break guards with it.
You can just do that with the teapot.
Well, I didn't have the teapot.
You can just
until, like,
do that with
level.
The teapot. It's the next level.
No.
It's literally the next level.
No.
It's the next level, and the rabbit you get, the explosion thing, is, like, way more effective at breaking guards.
I didn't use that in combat except as a decoy, because you can drop... So your little rabbit bomb is equal parts, like, decoy in combat, break open walls like Zelda, or leave on pressure plates.
Yes.
For puzzles. You can use it in combat, and it does damage enemies, but I never found it to be that useful offensively. I mostly used it defensively while I was just stabbing people.
You also have to remember that I did the whole level without the hobby horse, and then got to the end, and they wanted me to open a chest, and I was like, why can't I open this chest? And the game was like, you need the hobby horse for this. I was like, where the fuck was the hobby horse? And it turns out it was in a room where I never actually touched the ground. I just jumped off a ramp that went into that room, and if I had touched the ground in there, I would have gotten the hobby horse, but since there were two other platforms I could land on, I went on those. And then the game just let me leave the hobby horse behind.
Family Dead Parkour.
Yeah, Family Dead Parkour. I parkoured too hard, and so, like, for the rest of the game I was like, okay, I could do something cool, but what if I miss something, like, deadly important? I am not replaying the entirety of chapter 2 again, because they let you get up to the very last thing you need to do, and that is the only thing in the level that requires you to have the hobby horse.
That's crazy.
You could, I got through that level, my hobby, and I was like, horseless speed run.
I was confused how you even managed to skip it until you explained it.
The bomb does everything the hobby horse does.
When this game was first being developed, there was a different project that they were working on called American McGee's Oz. I kind of wish that had come out instead.
That'd probably be more interesting, I feel like.
'Cause
this is nothing.
It looks neat sometimes, I guess.
Sure. I don't think so, but I'm glad it's hitting for somebody, because it ain't hitting for me.
I mean, the dresses are cute.
The dresses are cute. I will grant you that, like, giving her a little outfit every level, I do love that. That's great. But, like, that's the long and short of it. The levels are too long. This is the most hya-hya-hya game in history.
That's so true. The levels are so long. And it's really annoying.
When you start getting to, like, you know the guy who has, like, you have to blow up, like, the 10 masks on his body or whatever?
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, it's just such a slog to beat. And there's a dozen of those guys throughout the game, and it just kind of sucks. None of the designs for, like, the Mad Hatter or, like, the Queen of Hearts or the Caterpillar are interesting at all. They all just kind of suck, I think.
I like the Queen of Hearts.
She's, like, fine, I guess, but, like, not by a lot. She's gross. Which I know that, like, that's the point, but, like, she's grosser than I would like.
Yeah, it's a very goopy game.
Yeah, it's a very goopy game. Also just has, like, the random Japan level.
It's a hybrid for sure.
Yeah, it's definitely a Chinese-Japanese culture level.
It's called the Mysterious East.
It's not good, man.
No, sorry, the opening area is called Mysterious East. That chapter is called Oriental Grove. And
it's not good, man.
Every level has these little objects in the world you could break open for teeth and for health pickups. And they sure are takeout boxes.
They sure
level.
Do look like takeout boxes, don't they? Oh, it's not good. It's not good.
To quote a Molly tweet, under no circumstances can you be talking like this, white baby.
Yeah, it's dire, man.
I will say I think the art in the original American McGee's Alice is better than this one.
Okay. I could believe that for sure.
I am sometimes partial to fucked up fairy tale aesthetic. I think it's really stupid, but sometimes it works.
Yeah, I don't know. I think this is maybe just like, I wanted to really like this game. I just think that it wasn't that interesting in like a take on it, you know?
I would say that is what I remember everybody saying at launch. And when I scroll down to the reception part of Wikipedia, I do see a lot of sevens.
Yeah.
Damn,
and hey, listen, nothing wrong with some sevens. I was really into what they were doing in like the first level. And then it just kept going, and I was like, oh, each of these is going to be like 3.5 hours, huh? Well, that's not good.
I didn't have that. My playthrough was not as long as yours, I feel like. But it was definitely over an hour per level, which is not
just
good.
Over an hour? I feel like it was minimum two for every level.
I feel like there were two levels that were like 90 minutes.
Okay.
Which
well,
is
maybe.
Not perhaps worth splitting hairs over.
Sure. I wish the Vorpal Blade was a sword, not a knife.
That's true. I get why. Because it's all.
Yeah,
like,
I get what they're doing, but. She should have a sword, not a, like a kitchen knife.
I was looking up Alice Madness Returns on GameSpot.
Yeah.
To see if I could read the review. From the time. Here we go. I did pull up GameSpot, and the first thing I saw on the GameSpot homepage was a piece by friend of the show, Grace Benfang. Shout out.
So true!
Anyway. What else is there to say about Alice Madness Returns?
Why just this? So I guess I was kind of confused. Does she end up in the asylum at the end or no? I know the next game was supposed to be called Alice Asylum, but that was not the, like, vibe. Killing your abuser was supposed to fix you.
Oh, I have a quote from American McGee from the wiki.
Oh boy, okay, yeah.
When asked about what happened and what this ending means, American McGee clarified. Alice defeats Bumby by pushing him under the train, then walks out into a new world full of hope and imagination. This leaves Alice in a position to use her abilities in new chapters of the story. Suffice to say, she's in a better place, not in the asylum and not otherwise in pain, troubled, or tortured. The ending of the game means that Alice had mastered the physical world, the real world threat from Bumby, and in the first game she mastered the psychological, using her mind to free herself from the asylum. Put those two things together and she's quite superhero-like. It's a common device in hero's journey type tales. Alice's story is a pretty classic hero's journey. Also, none of us can ever go home. Life moves on, our decisions matter. Can you go back to the way things were 5 years ago? I can't. Alice certainly can't. But the point is that she's now a fully realized and whole person. She's overcome the demons that inspired these two games. What's next, if not her own demons? ...
What does that mean, brother?
It means she's fixed.
That's nothing!
It means, we can talk about other lands.
I guess. I don't know what the hell Otherlands is.
Alice Otherlands is an animated sequel to The Madness Returns. Not The Madness Returns.
Oh.
It's a series of two short films and artwork developed by Spicy Horse to help bring closure to the Alice series, which was originally envisioned as a trilogy.
What? Okay. The end of this game does not indicate that there would be another game after this. The end of this game kind of says, yep, you did it, that was it.
Otherlands is set around 1876 and focuses on 20-year-old Alice Little, connecting with and entering the mentalities and minds of those around her, known as Otherlands, and it revolves around her discovering the horrors of the human subconscious, especially those of history's most famous minds. So, the two that are listed here that, like...
So they're Doctor Who-ing her?
Well, it's a little Psychonauts, I think.
Okay, yeah.
The two shorts that they've made are Leviathan, which is Alice visits the mind of Jules Verne and guides him through the visuals of his novels as they discuss the nature of humanity and their fears. And the second one is A Night at the Opera. Alice, while working at the London Royal Opera House, discovers the mind of Richard Wagner through his opera. So...
All right, man.
Yeah.
Sure,
she kind of becomes a superhero that goes into other people's minds and like works through their shit.
I can do that. I've mastered that ability as well. Yeah, I mean, I liked the end of this game where she pushes that guy in front of the train. That part I was like, okay, that works for me. That's fine. It's just like right before that, because every one of these levels, you beat a level, it kicks you back out into like the, I'm doing air quotes, real world here.
Mm-hmm.
And then something insane happens to real life Alice, and then she ends up back in Wonderland. Right. So, like, the one before she goes to the dollhouse is that she's in an asylum and had a lobotomy.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
And then suddenly she's pushing the dude in front of a train.
I think that didn't happen. Or that happened...
That didn't happen?
Previously, when she was in the asylum.
She got a lobotomy at the asylum before?
Maybe? And then she fixed her brain in the first game, like American says.
And she just reconnected it manually.
That's right.
Did a little soft reset on the brain. Okay, man, sure. I don't know.
She's a superhero, I guess. You know? It's the hero's journey, really.
I hate to be rude to a game I know many people enjoy and my friends like, but like, I don't think it was that good. I'm sorry to report that I don't think it holds up.
Yeah, I would say it's neat. I'm glad I played it, but, you know.
Yeah, if it was like half as long, I would be way higher on it.
Oh, for sure. These levels are so long.
Yeah.
And there's 5 of them.
Yeah. Technically, kind of. Like, yeah, I guess there's not really a sixth. There's not a sixth chapter as much as there's a cutscene compilation, and then you do a boss fight.
It's called Chapter 6, but yeah, you wander around the asylum.
You wander around, and a guy kind of tells you, like, it's kind of fucked up you didn't realize what was happening to all those other kids. Maybe you deserve to suffer. A guy says that to her!
Yeah.
And then that does not get addressed.
Well, she doesn't have a train to throw him in front of.
I guess, man. I would have made one.
I would have started working on manifesting trains with my psychic powers.
Yeah, for sure. That would have been my superpower. I put you on the tracks.
Basically, it seems that this sort of franchise is in a state where American McGee is like, yeah, I'd love to make a third one. Don't have the rights and don't have money.
Yep. Yeah.
So, or maybe he has the rights. I don't actually know. But I think EA owns it.
The last thing on the Wikipedia page here says, furthermore, McGee has announced that he is no longer interested in pursuing future projects regarding the Alice franchise, even if EA were to reconsider their stance with production of the game.
Damn.
And it looks like that was about 2 years ago.
Yeah, that was April 2023.
Yep, so. Yep, oh well.
Yeah.
That's fine. Listen, bud, you can move on. It's okay. You have line of bunny plushies now.
Make that Oz game.
Or make the Oz one. Yeah, I mean, I'd be curious about it, I guess.
I haven't listened to that reprise yet, so I don't know what you mean by the bunny thing.
Hang on. he has a line of bunny plushes called Plushy Dreadfuls. That generally, hang on, I'm sending this to you in the journal channel. Of like bunnies for various disabilities or like There are some astrology ones, but there's a lot of different, like, bunny lines here.
The first one I saw was a big one on the front page that just says, "Available again, Autism Spectrum Rabbit, Gold Limited Edition."
Yeah. Like, that's... I mean, good for that, man. People seem to like it. He's got... There's a lot of collections on here, so it can't be nothing, you know?
What's on sale?
Here's the official Pride collection.
Yo, we got gay bunnies.
They got gay bunnies. They got transgender bunnies.
Got the... Oh, they have the gender dysphoria rabbit.
Yeah, so, listen, I'm happy to do this bit twice. This is a great bit.
This
so.
Is incredible.
Yeah, so peruse this at your leisure, you know, as you feel.
Mushroom rabbit. Yeah. Pineapple rabbit.
I wish... Yeah, I just wish it was, like, half as long, because then I would be really psyched about this game, but it's, unfortunately, way too long.
There's a rabbit with a crown called the Narcissistic Personality Disorder Rabbit? What?
They need representation, Nora.
Putting a crown on the rabbit's a little on the nose, right?
A little bit, yeah.
But I guess good for him.
Yeah. Whatever works for you. Anyway, do you have anything else you want to say about Alice Madness Returns? Really just a messy... This game, the writing is fucking dog shit, for the record. I would like the record to show that, like, half of those memories, I'm just like, why, or what are we doing here, man? Like, it's just not a cohesive story.
Yeah, it's... If I hadn't been doing... This is one of those where if it weren't for the podcast, I wouldn't have finished it, probably.
Yeah, I would have tapped out of Chapter 3 for sure.
I remember booting it up back in the day because my laptop couldn't run it. So I've seen that opening area in the river. But, yeah. I think 7 is a pretty accurate score on this one.
Yeah, but it's in the 5 to 6 range, IMO, but it's fine.
These rabbits are really pushing it up, I gotta say.
The rabbits have nothing to do with the game, Nora.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty confident, yeah.
Anxiety rabbit. Rage rabbit. Man.
Are you going to get some rabbits?
I think the ADHD bat with the 8-pointed, like, chaos star is wild.
The ADHD bat. Oh, yeah. I see.
It's like, what is this bat hanging out with Elric?
I don't know what that means. I'm sorry.
Don't worry about it. It's fine.
Okay.
We don't need to get into the Lords of Chaos.
That's a different podcast.
Yeah, that's true.
Shall we talk questions?
Yeah, we got some emails and we also got some replies on Blue Sky. Which would you like to start with?
Yeah, I mean, whatever's fine. What do you have pulled up? I have the emails pulled up.
Okay.
All right, emails it is, because now I have one open, okay?
Yeah, I M also sent an email to this text chat I saw.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
So you go first.
Yeah, first up we have from Faden. Hello, what Brando Sando book series should get a video game, and what should the game be? Nora will say Mistborn.
Well, I was just thinking about Mistborn, but...
Yeah.
I think Mistborn works pretty well I know that Autumn and I have talked on podcasts about the Dishonored Mistborn game.
That shit would go crazy.
It would go crazy, but...
But?
I'm also thinking about Darkest Dungeon.
Okay.
And I think you could make a really compelling game like Darkest Dungeon that is about sending Mistborn assassins to other houses and doing like a house war.
Okay.
Thing, as a, like, in the status quo that exists before the first Mistborn novels actually happen.
Yeah.
I think that would be really fun.
I can see that. That could be fun.
What would your answer be?
I haven't read that much, Brandon. The thing is, I have not even, like, barely broken into Era 2 Mistborn, but I could see how sick the Era 2 Mistborn open world game would be.
Yeah.
But, I mean, like, the Stormlight guys are my Blorbos, but I literally don't want to play a video game about them. I'm just not that, I'm not interested in that setting being a video game, I guess.
I'm sure there's people who want to play Skyrim on Roshar.
That might be cool. I don't know. But we see a lot of Roshar, but, like, only the main cities, you know? Like,
yeah.
There's a lot to be filled in there, which I guess could be compelling. But, like, for the most part, I just don't know how much that world actually makes a good open world game. Also, I don't think Brandon should be allowed to be in video games after he complained about George R. R. Martin getting picked up for... I think he should be denied this forever just for fun. Because he was a whiny baby.
I think if there was going to be a Cosmere video game, I would rather Brandon just write a pitch for a new thing and then hand it off to other people.
Yeah, he should just, like, make a new world that's in the Cosmere, and then you play that.
Like, I think he should just, like, not even make a magic system, but just be like, what if, you know, what if makeup gave you magic powers? And then the actual, like, video game people have to make that work.
That'd be pretty tight.
You know, as an example.
But they should just make a Dishonored. That really, when it comes down to it, they should just make Mistborn Dishonored.
Now, is that because of the qualities of Mistborn, or is that because you just want another Dishonored?
Why not all of the above? Why not? I don't understand the question.
What if it was a crossover hero shooter?
No.
What if it was a MOBA? No, what I actually would want is a fighting game. I think a fighting game would be sick. You could have all the Blorbos in there.
A fighting game would be tight.
It would be a good way of, like, oh, I guess we have something that Raiden can do. We can do something with this guy that, like, who cares about Elantris?
Not so, you. No
slowly
one else.
But surely I start caring about Elantris. They broke the pact?
What all of the books are about. It's just a pact being broken.
They had two damn shards on that planet.
It turns out this happened like 40 times.
There's not that many shards.
Yeah, but somehow there keep being more planets where there's two shards. Or more.
Yeah, that's all I have for that. Unless Hydro Thunder, but your boat from Tress of the Emerald Sea.
Did that boat go that fast?
No.
All right, fair enough. Do you have another question from another source?
I do. Next one comes in from Emrys. I played the original American McGee's Alice, but never got far into the sequel. I remember hearing rumors that American McGee was also going to do a twisted dark fantasy version of Oz that never materialized. What classic story would you want to see made into a dark fantasy video game? What would the core mechanics be?
Here's the thing. Here's the thing. I just remembered that they teased a Lies of P Oz sequel at the end of Lies of P, and I just remembered that, and I remember now that that is my answer. I need that so bad. It would be so good. I'm glad the Lies of P people get to make DLC and perhaps maybe something beyond that. Because that game rocks.
What would my answer to this be? Like, Oz is a pretty good one. That's a good pick.
Yeah.
I've suddenly forgotten every book.
I just don't really know that many, like, classic fairy tales.
Watership Down?
Would that be deeply fucked up?
I guess you could make it deeply fucked up. What if it was Watership Down, but they were, like, furries instead of rabbits?
Okay.
And it would be, like, I don't know. Okay, so it would be a 3D action platformer, and you would hya-hya-hya.
Of course.
No, I don't know that I have any ideas. Like I said, I've forgotten every book.
This is why we make podcasts and not video games.
I guess I could just think about what Ruby character would I want to make into a video game.
True! You have an easy out on that one.
In that case, like... I mean... The main girl, Little Red Riding Hood.
American McGee has already made a Little Red Riding Hood game.
I guess you could say that.
I was looking at the American McGee page, and he has made that.
Oh, really?
Let's see. Spicy Horse. Which one of these was it? I swear. American, it's an iPad game.
Oh.
American McGee presents Akaniro. Little Red Riding Hood in Japan, it says. It does not have its own Wikipedia page, so make of that what you will.
I'm looking at the pictures, you know?
Yeah?
You know, I've seen way worse.
Honey, don't what? Do this.
What?
Don't do this.
What? I'm just looking at the Kickstarter for it now.
Oh, there's a Kickstarter. I didn't know that.
Demon Hunters.
Oh, there is a Wikipedia page. It's just is not linked to the Spicy Horse page. I see.
Huh.
Here is the 3-sentence development section of this page. Okay, you ready?
Okay, I'm ready.
American McGee was initially inspired by the book The Lost Wolves of Japan, which depicted the destruction of wolves of Japan at the hands of foreign farmers. The idea was to combine the Red Riding Hood character with the setting of nature's destruction by humans. On top of that, demons were added to enhance the whole story.
Let me read you this summary from Goodreads.com.
From Goodreads?
From the brilliant imagination of video game auteur American McGee comes a dazzling re-envisioning of Red Riding Hood set in the wondrous world of Japanese folklore.
Okay.
This is, I guess, a graphic novel? Version?
Is it? Okay.
I can't find a good, like, picture of the art here, but...
That's fine. Shall we move on to the next question? We've been here a million years.
I suppose we can, but I'm going to send this picture anyway.
Okay. Let me look at this image. Yeah. Yeah, that looks like I think it would look like.
Yeah.
That's about right.
The Path of Cloak and Wolf. If I was rich, this is the kind of guy I'd be. I would just be making kind of hokey shit all the time.
I think that's fine. I think somebody needs to be making hokey shit, but I sometimes also need to be like, this is kind of fucking hokey.
You want to take our last email?
Second to last email.
Well, if it's a Discord message, it's not an email.
Yeah, but it's like an email in spirit, I think. Because fine. M did say it's an email.
Whatever.
Anyway. From Jen. Hi, Molly and Nora. If you were to give a kitchen knife to any traditionally non-violent character in fiction, who would you pick and why?
This is a fantastic question!
This story, if blank had a knife. Okay, hang on. Who would it be most effective to give a knife to?
A traditionally non-violent character.
Let's see, hang on. I'm gonna open up the archive of Journal Updated episodes. Who among this list needs a knife? Who's the Dusa from Hades needs a knife?
Does she hold it in the little snake?
Yes.
Little snake mouths?
I think she has her own knife, and all the little snakes have their own tiny knife. Oh, I think that's the only way to do beautiful. It, you know?
The Cat in the Hat?
Now you're thinking American McGee. What if Sam I Am had a knife?
What if Jesus of Nazareth had a knife? Sora.
I think he had access to weapons. Sora, I get, is a keyblade a knife? It's got a blade. It says it's called a blade.
Well, when you stick it in people, you unlock their death. So.
Yeah. Let's see. Who else on this list?
I'm looking at my bookshelf.
We play a lot of violent games, Nora. Most of these people don't need knives.
Yeah.
The guy from Return of the Obra Dinn, the insurance guy.
Stanley. What's his name? From,
Of
from
the Parable?
From Soma.
No, again. You can't give that guy a knife. He's too stupid.
What's his name?
He'll hurt himself. I don't know.
It's not Stanley, is it? Kevin? Chadley?
Some of Steven. It. Hang on, I'm looking it up.
Is it Steven?
Simon.
Simon!
You're so close.
I was really close.
Simon Jarrett.
So
I don't think he needs a knife. I think he would do worse with a knife than he did without.
What if Dante from the Divine Comedy?
Alan Wake.
Yo.
Rose from Alan Wake. Hang on. Rose specifically from Alan Wake. Who, the little girl from Fear?
Alma? Alma Wade?
Alma? Does she need a knife?
I would not describe her as traditionally nonviolent.
That's true. That's true. You got me there.
But I do think she deserves...
I just saw Fear on the list, and she should have a knife.
She needs a knife. She does good on her own, but I think she could stand to see her dad thrown in front of a train.
True. Push him in front of that motherfucker.
Although she does, like, boil the flesh off his bones as he's standing there, so, you know.
Well, that's still pretty good.
I almost wanted to say Bilbo Baggins, but he literally has a knife.
He's one of the knife guys.
Much like Alice, he's small enough that a knife is
a sword. Yeah.
I'm having trouble thinking of characters who don't already enact violence. Gollum.
The main character from Pokemon.
Red?
Any Pokemon game. Just give them a knife and also Pokemon.
Or give every Pokemon a knife.
The Pokemon they're not non-violent, I don't think.
I don't know. They're just kind of doing their own thing. They're just animals.
Yeah, it's not really their fault. Yeah.
Can we give the titular Raven a knife?
The titular Raven.
From the poem?
From the poem, The Raven?
Yeah.
Sure, I'll allow it.
Paul Atreides.
Does he need one?
No.
All right, fair enough. Next.
I will read the email from M.
The fake email. You were right, it's fake.
Hey, sorry, I'm writing this literally while I record Cosmo Champs. Listen to Cosmo Champs out Thursday. Anyway, if you had to make a new Alice game now, what things would you keep or what would you change to capture the vibes of where culture is at? Forget the Alice 3 design doc. You get to do what you want. Let it rip. At the end of the day, you know the actual release will end up sponsored by BetterHelp and be very concerned about her trauma, actually.
It already is, you know, but they're not good at it. What would Alice 3 be? I mean, I guess I just start putting her into other fairy tales, right? Like, not even like other people's brains, like discussing, with Jules Verne, what he thinks of humanity. Fucking boring. Put her in Oz and let her kill the Wicked Witch.
I think, now hear me out.
Okay.
What if it's a different story? Like, maybe it's Oz, maybe it's, you know, who's the guy with the voyages? There's
Gulliver's Travels?
That's the one with the travels, yeah. What if
Holy shit.
What if you're, like, playing a slightly twisted version of that or whatever, and then Alice is there as the Cheshire Cat is in this game, where she's, like, guiding you to, like, fix whatever you've got going on. And she's, like, you don't play as Alice, but she's kind of, like, your patron saint, if you will.
Okay, sorry to make this a more cursed thing. What if, I think if we make Alice 3 2025, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, I do have to say it is a God of War reboot-ass video game.
Okay.
You are fighting her trauma one by one, but, you know, it'll be big and scarier. And, like, you have a sinister psychologist. I guess I'm just really describing this game, but Prestige, because that is exactly the kind of game we would make.
Okay,
in...
Okay, wait. But...
Yeah.
Let's make it God of War. Let's make her older. Let's make her
She should be old?
She should be a mother.
Okay.
And she should, like, look at her child and think, how can I possibly protect her from the world that I know is out there?
Uh-huh.
And then they, like, kill psychologists together. I don't know. I don't know what you're doing. Maybe she moves to America.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Just leaves the country.
Yeah.
Wild West Alice Returns.
That's right. Alice, I don't have a good title here. Alice Generations.
Alice Frontiers.
No. I no? feel like a 2025 Alice sequel would also give all the enemies stagger bars.
Wait. I know what we call this shit. It's just Alice colon Wonderland.
That's so generic.
I know, but it's what they would do.
Or it's just Alice, but the E is a 3.
That might be it. That could be it. Yeah, but then it's not a reboot, you know?
There's got to be some quote you can pull from the book, right?
Yeah, but I haven't read the book, so I don't know.
Yeah, me neither. I was going to listen to the audiobook because it's like 2 hours long before this podcast.
Oh, really?
But I didn't get around to it. Yeah, it's not a long book.
I didn't know that. I assumed it was a long book.
No, there's like a couple of them, but they're pretty small guys. It would be called, like, Alice Wonderland is pretty good. That's definitely going to make it to the final round.
Thank you.
Like,
I appreciate
internally.
That.
Alice colon Alice Returns.
No, that's this game.
What,
I know it's Madness Returns, but...
Yeah. Because the Madness Returns. Somehow.
Yeah. Somehow, Madness has returned.
Revenge. Alice, colon, generational trauma. Oh, Alice, blunt force trauma.
No, that's the parody remake.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's the Bulletstorm of Alice games. Nora, have you played Bulletstorm?
I played the demo on PS3 when I couldn't afford video games back in the day.
Okay. Okay, fair enough. We might have to play Bulletstorm sometime if you want a stupid 360 shooter.
You know what? I feel like that game's going to be too long.
You know what? You're right about that.
We've got 3 questions from Blue Sky.
Yeah, hit me.
Crystal asks, the levels in this game are too long. What's a game with perfectly paced levels?
Dishonored 2.
Somebody's honking outside now, so that's fun.
I was going to say I can't hear it, but then I heard it.
I guess a game with good levels.
I feel like most Sonic games.
I really can't think with this constant honking in the background. Levels. For some reason, my brain is extremely stuck on the Disgaea spinoff, Prinny, Can I Really Be the Hero, where you play as a little penguin doing platforming levels.
Yeah, I know about Prinny.
You blow up also when you die.
That many such cases.
I don't know.
We haven't played on this podcast very many games with perfectly paced levels.
I would say that's true.
Yeah.
Just wait till Molly makes me play Mark of the Ninja. I'm sure we'll get there.
Oh.
Pixel asks,
Mark of the Ninja.
Pixel asks, how do you feel about sanity in video games, both as a mechanic and as a theme?
It's usually done very poorly.
In both cases, I would say.
The other thing is that this barely ever happened to me. The low health, like, super mode you go into is called Hysteria.
That's true.
And I'm just, like, fucking staring at the screen. Like, come on.
Come on, guys. Yeah. I think, honestly, I like the Darkest Dungeon version of this, where it's not like, oh, you're insane. Instead, it's like, you've, like, manifested this specific thing, like a quirk or a trauma on the character. That works as obviously into the, like, meat grinder aspect of the game.
Yeah.
But otherwise, if you play, like, a Call of Cthulhu, and I assume the new Call of Cthulhu also does this, or something similar. What's the game where, like, everything gets blurry when you look at the enemies? Is that Amnesia that does this as well?
I have no idea.
Because I know in Call of Cthulhu, you'd have to just, like, huddle in a corner and, like, stare at the wall for a while until you could, like, calm down. But it better not be too dark.
Or you die.
You do literally just die if you get too crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's never fun to deal with mechanically. And it's also...
No, not really.
It's also, like... always shallow thematically. So
yes, and in that sense also, you know, not offensive but insensitive for sure, usually.
Yeah. Our final question comes from Kim, who asks, what's a fun little household thing that would be neato to turn into some supernatural weapon to fight critters with?
Every kitchen appliance. I hate to do this, but like there's a reason that this game has like four of them. It's because they rock. Any other big toothbrush you hit guys with, perhaps?
Yeah. Could be. Maybe it's like a motorized one.
Dental game?
It's like a gun blade where you pulse the motor on the toothbrush when you bonk people.
Alice: Orthodontics?
Alice. Toothless.
No, that's How to Train Your Dragon.
What if we gave Alice a dragon?
Alice should have a dragon. She's nice, okay? She's allowed.
Yeah, she's literally nicies.
She's literally nicies.
She literally has not done anything wrong.
I mean, yeah, that is pretty much true. Big Pen.
Yeah.
Or regular pen.
Giving Epic Mickey.
Oh, true, true.
Letter opener. That's kind of too obvious.
Yeah.
Hair dryer.
Oh, hair dryer's fun.
It is literally a gun shape, I guess.
Like a fan, yeah.
Yeah. Household
couch
cleaner.
Cushion. Household cleaner will already kill you.
So will a knife.
That's true. You got me there. Knives do kill people.
Yeah. I feel like I've left a lot of silences of just thinking and stuff on this episode, but you know, we're a ponderous sort.
You got to think about the questions.
You gotta think about the questions. Maybe I should have thought about them ahead of time, but I didn't read any of them ahead of time.
Yeah, we don't look at them ahead of time, usually. Oh, well.
That does it for our discussion of Alice Madness Returns.
Yeah.
Available
next
now.
Next month, we are no longer playing Cyberpunk. That will be March's... or no, it is March. That will be April's game, I guess. next month, we will be playing Avowed!
Avowed.
Because it came out, and we were like, why didn't we have this on the radar?
Also, I might ask to push Cyberpunk another month back if I spend all month playing Avowed and don't get any progress on Cyberpunk actually done, because it's kind of a long game.
That's true. It is a long one. It's very possible. We could take an extra month on Cyberpunk. I think that'd be fine. Whatever we need to do, we'll figure it out.
We will do Cyberpunk soon.
Yeah, I really want to play it now after listening to Autumn talk about it and Grace talk about it and Pris talk about it and Ashley talk about it.
So stay tuned for what might show up after Avowed, but for right now, we're playing Avowed. I have no idea how long that game is, but I don't think it's that long.
How long to beat says it's like 15 hours, if you just focus it down.
That sounds nuts, but that might be
true. Yeah, that sounds crazy, but I hope it's true.
I feel like the Outer Worlds was like 24, and this feels smaller than Outer Worlds.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Nora, this has been the pod.
This has been the pod. What's the status of that journal?
That's just updated. Do you want to do plugs?
Yeah, I am on Blue Sky at skulldaughter.exportodd.io. Exportodd.io, of course, takes you to the Export Audio Patreon, where you can give us money in exchange for podcasts. It's a great deal.
That's so true.
What's going on over there? There's podcasts, you know. Ornate Stairwells comes out. You get it early if you're a patron.
Pouton?
Asterisk on Pouton?
Yeah, listen, yeah. It's complicated, but it is happening.
Alternatively, there's Coffee and Comic Books, which I know people love.
True!
Other stuff. That's mostly it. I'm mostly just on Blue Sky. I mean, I have been doing some other stuff, but for the most part, that's where you can find me.
Yeah.
I'll probably be posting about my OCs, as I want to do.
This is true.
I have a new OC, thanks to Avowed, so.
Well, there you go.
I'm also, I made Senna in, yeah. In Avowed, because she's, it's funny, because, like, she's kind of my main D&D guy right now, even though I'm not actively playing her, because we're in a different leg of the campaign, so I'm playing a different character, but Senna is still, like, in my brain, my main character. We haven't actually seen her all that much in this leg of the campaign, because she's being held for, like, big reveals and stuff. Like, when she comes back, it's going to be really cool. So,
Senna is your number one Blorbo, for sure.
Yeah, at least right now. I'm eagerly awaiting some art of her that I've got commissioned. Mm-hmm. So, that's fun. What about you?
You can find me on Twitter, Blue Sky, I guess it's really Tumblr and Blue Sky, at your friend Molly with YER, audioentropy.com, ineedmail.com. You know the links. I've said them before. And you could go to Abnormal Mapping and give them money on the Patreon to get, you know, podcasts from Abnormal Mapping. That's where we are hosted.
That's true. You should give them at least $5 for Blockbuster.
At least $5 for Blockbuster, but you should really go to the $10 tier to get VoIP. It's good.
VoIP is great. If you want...
It's good, and it's where we show up the most.
That's true. I have had more guest appearances on VoIP than I have put out episodes of my actual podcasts that are mine.
Yeah.
For a while now.
So if you want some Nora, you need to be on VoIP.
You gotta be listening to VoIP. I went in to talk about Brando. I went in to talk about dragons.
It's true.
Always a pleasure to pop into VoIP.
It's good.
It's good.
And that's it. That's this journal's been updated now.
This journal's been straight up dated. If you think about it.
True.
Look forward to our coming journal updated plushy dreadful crossover.
What kind of bunny would we get? Video gaming bunny?
I think
it's too boring.
I mean, they would just be like whatever issues we have.
Yeah, whatever mental illness you and I have, which we have a couple bunnies we could put up there, I think.
That's probably true.
Yeah. All right, that's it. We're ending this podcast.
Bye.
Bye.